Have you ever wondered how the date for Easter is chosen? Some years it can be March the 22nd, early enough to get in one last camping trip before the winter. Other years it can fall as late as April the 25th. It's the only public holiday that's decided by a new moon. Our next guest is an expert on the moon, and she's pretty certain that one day, not too far away, we'll use the moon as our base for space travel. Haritina Mogoșanu is from Bucharest. She fell in love with the stars at the age of six, moved to New Zealand in 2005, and she became the first New Zealander to lead a crew at the Mars Desert Research Station in Utah. Hari is the Senior Science Communicator at the Carter Observatory in Wellington. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here.
This might be the coolest thing I've ever heard. You have an asteroid named after you.
I do.
Can you tell us a little bit about the asteroid?
It was named after me for the work that I have done in science communication, and it is often that people who do a lot of work like that get things named after them. I was lucky enough to have an asteroid named after me.
And where is it? What is it? Like, is it huge? Is it
small? In the main asteroid belt. It's not too big. It's about 2 kilometers in diameter. It's quite tiny.
Would it destroy the world if it you know, science fiction movies, asteroids hit the planet? What would happen if your asteroid hit the planet?
Well, we used to joke, depends on which mood we are.
Excellent.
It's big enough to be able to destroy the world, yes.
Good, cool. Okay, so back to Easter. How did this all happen? So it is, I think as it now, off the top of my head, it is in my notes, but we'll try to do this off the top of my head. It's the first full moon?
First full moon after the March equinox, but it's not that simple. Easter is quite complicated. It's a spiritual observance, and it comes back to the time when people were using the moon to measure time, when the moon was the biggest thing out there that you could see, and there was the cycle of the moon, and then some people started measuring time by the sun, by the season. Some people did not have seasons, so they stuck to the moon. And some people wanted to know the future, so they were measuring time by looking at all these planets, and they were trying to figure out what was going on, especially like very, very long time ago, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, when you're like the royal astrologer and you had to predict battles and things. So then they ended up with a week of 7 days, and they ended up with measuring time in all sorts of ways. And so Easter nowadays is actually not in sync with astronomical events. It is calculated by a mathematical approximation of these dates that have been set very many years ago, thousands of years ago. And so the church says that the spring equinox is on the 21st of March, and this is for them set in stone. Mm-hmm. And so Easter happens after the 21st of March. Obviously, doesn't coincide with the March equinox, because March equinox can be any time from 19th to 22nd. And so there are 35 possible dates for Easter, 35 possible dates in which Easter can fall.
So it's basically so March 21st, and then it's the first full moon after March 21st.
Well, you think that's it should be. You would expect that should be, but it's the full moon that is, again, mathematically approximated from this very old calculation called the Methonic cycle that was done about 3,000 or 4,000 years ago in Greece. So but it's okay, because it's a spiritual thing, right? So it doesn't matter when it is. It's just, this is how they do. This is their manual for calculations.
Is there such a thing, astronomically speaking, as a full moon? What counts as a full moon?
Full moon means when the moon receives full illumination from the sun. And yes, there is such thing as a full moon. It's an instance in the sky. So the moon constantly revolves around the Earth, and Earth moves around the sun. So there is one tiny little instance when the moon receives 100% light from the sun. So that's the full moon.
And is that like, does that full moon last 5 minutes or a day or seconds?
Seconds.
Seconds. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, so when we talk about, you know, people behaving weirdly because it's the full moon, we're a bit weird. That's not at all true.
No.
Okay. No. I like it so much, though. Okay. So, and this year is a pretty significant one for the moon. In June, it will be 50 years since the first landing.
Yes. 50 years since people first stepped on the moon, and how amazing that is.
Yeah, and there's a lot happening this year. There's a lot of things going on with the moon.
There are. There was a Chinese launched a spacecraft to the moon, and they grew the very first plant outside there on the moon, and it died after a few days, but that's okay because we could prove that we as humankind could do it.
Yep.
Which was extraordinary. That was just on after New Year. And then the Israeli, they sent a spacecraft to the moon. Unfortunately, it didn't really make it, but I think it's still extraordinary that they managed to do a private endeavor to send that spacecraft there to the moon. It was supposed to be a rover to rove on the moon.
Yeah. Why do we need to go back there?
Because we have to become a spacefaring civilization. Humankind has to go to space. We have to do it.
Why?
Because our sun will start behaving, let's just say will behave weirdly in the next billion years, maybe even sooner than that. And
so we've got some time.
We have some time. But as far as I'm concerned, I want my species to survive.
Yeah. And so... So the way to describe the sun is going to collapse in on itself. Is that right?
Well, it's just the cycle of a star. Yeah. So that's what stars do. Yeah.
And so the way to survive that for the human species is to go into the stars.
To go into the stars. Yeah. To become. I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily far away. We could move a little bit further away. Yeah. We could move first to Saturn or Jupiter, and then we figure it out from there. I hope that the technology is going to help us as well. Because I mean, look what happened in the last 50 years at least. In technology. Every day I open the internet and I find amazing things that people invented.
Where would you go if you could?
I would go to see Saturn's rings, to ski on Saturn's rings. I've actually thought about that a lot. And Saturn's rings are made of many things, among which is ice. And they're boulders there as big as 3-4 kilometers. So imagine skiing there.
No, I don't want to. That sounds amazing. Do you want to talk a little bit about your time at Utah? You went to the Mars Desert Research Station?
I did, and I was very lucky. I was sent by the Romanian Space Agency first, and then while I was there, I went there as a scientist, and talking about spiritual things, it completely changed me, because I realized that people from there are from all over the world and from all religions, all beliefs, all kind of like jobs that they were doing there. And when I went there, my first qualification is in biology, and I've always wanted to be an astronomer, so struggle of my life. And I got there and I realized that you actually have to be a lot of things. You have to do a lot of jobs in order to survive on Mars. So I ended up being something that I describe as close as the Martian, if you have seen the
yep.
movie Martian.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of action that happens and a lot of things that we want to learn here on Earth that we do as many mistakes as we can here on Earth. And then when we go to Mars, we know what can go wrong.
Yeah.
And then after that, I took a New Zealand crew, and they were amazing. And we did this huge outreach program with the kids, and kids would call us in Utah. And we had like this tiny little bandwidth, so you couldn't really talk. So we had to be very inventive on talking, because if you want to talk to every single one of them, you don't want to turn them down. And they were asking all these silly questions, like, how do you go toilet on Mars? And how do you go shower?
That's not a silly question.
Well,
though.
You know, that was the first question that they were leading with. So we ended up doing this FAQ online.
Awesome.
They're very cute. And so we went back there for three times, so I've been in total of four times, and I think it's an amazing outreach because of this collaboration, this spirit of being an international citizen, a person of the world. It doesn't matter who you are, what language you speak. It matters. You want to explore.
I have to ask the question, how do you go to the toilet on Mars?
Mars has gravity, so I would presume it is the normal
the
way. Yes.
Way. Okay, yeah. Cool. I mentioned that you're going to tell us what we can see at the night sky. So if we go out in the dark tonight and look up, what can we see right now?
Right now, we can see the edge of the Milky Way on one side of the horizon. In the west, Orion or the Pot is setting at nighttime. Well, presumably we don't have any clouds. Last night was a bit cloudy, but fingers crossed. And on the other side of the sky, in the eastern horizon, the center of our galaxy is coming up. And Scorpius is there. That's the main asterism. And Scorpius now has a beautiful name. I already have different names for these different star groupings, asterisms, at different times of the year. And this time is called Manaya Kitarangi, the guardian of the heavens. So guardian of the heavens comes up with the Milky Way center in the east. So it's just absolutely gorgeous. This New Zealand night sky is the best.
I agree. That is Haritina Mogashanu, who is the senior science communicator at the Carter Observatory in Wellington.